So, whoa, praise the Lord, new seats, got to get used to them. Good morning, everyone. Let me see here. You're live.
Good morning. Good
morning. We got her?
Okay.
So, welcome, everyone, to Open Arms Community Church and to our new series called Different. For those of you that do not know, this is my lovely wife, Marnie. Say hello.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome.
So most of you know us both, but in case you're new with us today or joining us for the first time from our church family in Port Allegheny or those on YouTube or Facebook, we just want to introduce ourselves to you. And we're going to be taking a journey together with all of you in this new series called Different, where we're going to be discussing facing the differences that exist within our relationships and whatever relationship context it is, and how to find harmony within those, okay? So how many are superhero fans here today? Yeah, we are. We love the superhero movies and even the bad ones. Marnie's a fan.
Are you nervous because you're twirling around?
No, I just move.
Okay.
So, anyways, I'm not used to actually sitting. I'm used to pacing, you know, back and forth on this thing. So this is going to be a challenge for me. You know, when you think about these superheroes, they all have these incredible strengths that attract us to them. And we find a lot of joy in watching them use their superpowers. But inevitably, the villain always finds their weakness, right? So whenever you have this solo superhero movie, the problem is that for all their strengths, they have a weakness, right? And the villain tries to exploit it. However, then we get superheroes teaming up. So we've watched movies like the Avengers and the Justice League, and we see these superheroes that have different strengths coming together and each using their different strengths in special ways to overcome the enemy, right? But inevitably, for all of their strengths,
they have to work together.
And with all of their strengths complementing one another, they have to learn something else, which is what? How to play nice together, right? So they got to learn to get along. And Marnie and I have had a similar challenge, would you say?
Yes, absolutely.
So we are night and day different, and we're going to be sharing with you our story. We met in the eighth grade.
Yes.
And she was hot, and still is.
I was just a baby.
You were just a baby, right? And I told everybody I was going to marry her, and of course, we never even dated in high school. She dated other people, and it was sad. It was hard. I did get the guts our senior year.
I was not wise in my younger years. So.
Yeah, and neither was I. So two peas in a pod, except that when I asked her to go out on a date our senior year, she said...
I said yes. Yes, as a friend.
As a friend. I got the friend zone.
He got the friend zone.
Yeah, so I got the friend zone. And... So, you know, fast forward several years. After we graduated, we each went our separate ways, and I went on to college and then Bible school, and then yeah. I ended up coming back to Pennsylvania over Christmas of 1993, where I ran into her at the mall, and she gave me her phone number. But then I disappeared
as a friend.
I disappeared for just over a year, and then in the beginning of 1995, I came back to Pennsylvania, planted my first church, and gave this woman a call, and then we started to hang out.
I did recognize your voice.
And she did recognize my voice on the phone, hello, for a long time.
She made an impression on me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
An impression. We'll have to talk about that more later. Anyway, we started hanging out, and then we dated, and then we got engaged, and then we broke up.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
That was my fault.
So Here's the thing. We want to share with you.
Well, kind of.
Many of you know our story. Many of you don't, and some somewhere in the middle of that. And we're going to share with you what it is that brought us together and how we've stayed together really, truly, happily married and strong in our marriage for over 20 years now. And there are some of you in this room who have superseded us. You've got 30 and 40 and 50 years Ooh. Under your belt, and we celebrate mm-hmm. that. That's awesome. You could be up here sharing this as well. But we're just going to share with you some of the stories that are going to be pretty lighthearted. But the meat that we will be sharing with you over these next several weeks is really going to be have the potential to really change your life. And not just in the sense of your marriage relationship, because the truth is these principles of dealing with your differences apply to every relationship that you can think of, your work relationship, your parenting, parent-to-child relationship, sibling relationship, extended family, neighbors, even your enemies, okay? So we're going to be digging into God's Word together and looking at what He teaches us regarding differences and how to live in harmony with them and find the strengths that they bring into our life, okay? So with that said, Marnie's going to kick us off by jumping into Genesis chapter 1. So if you want to focus your attention on the screen, Marnie, would you read us Genesis chapter 1?
Yes. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." And so God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day.
So what we want you to do is, first of all, circle the two words, circle the phrase male and female, and then I want you to circle the phrase very good.
Very good.
And I want you to double underline the word very, okay? Because when God created the heavens and the earth and everything in them, on the sixth day, the apex of creation was man and woman in the likeness and the image of God. And when God looked at this, it wasn't just okay. It wasn't just good. It was very good. And we're going to talk about that in a second. But that said, we want you to see four different things to take away from this text here today, okay? So the first one is, and you'll notice in your outlines, that different is a part of our world and relationships. Different is a part of our world and a part of our relationships. It does not take a rocket scientist to look around and see that the world is full of differences, right? We've got different kind of animals, different kind of trees, different kind of chemicals and elements, different kind of people and personalities. And the fact is the world would be a very boring place if every tree was exactly the same, if every animal was exactly the same, and if every one of us looked, thought, talked, acted, and felt exactly the same. Wouldn't it? Unless you all looked like Marnie. But then I'd have a hard time. Okay, anyways, not so funny. I'm bad with jokes. You'll learn that if you haven't already. So the second thing we want you to see, Marnie's going to kick this off.
That different is by God's intentional design. And correct me if I'm wrong, when God made male and female in the garden, the word that they used in Hebrew, or was it Greek?
Yep, Hebrew.
Hebrew, was, they were different words. The word to make the man was different than the word to make the woman. Yep. And we're not going to explain that today, but we're going to talk about it in the future.
Yes, that's so. a later part of the series.
I think it's amazing, you know, that we were intentionally made different. to compliment one another. Yep. So, drive one another crazy. But anyway.
So the process of creating man and woman, just that alone, was different. Mm-hmm. How God made the man is different than how he made the woman. And as Marnie said, that's a teaser for what is coming up in the weeks to come. However, what I want you to understand is that God, in his intentionality of creating everybody different, the differences are twofold. Number one, there are differences in that they're creative. So God is an artist. And so there's this creative side of the differences, and it's what makes our world beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. We've got all these different colors and all these different shapes and all these different sizes and all these different talents. And this is part of God's amazing creative ability, is he's got this artistic flair, and he's given that to many of us. The other side of this is that in God's intentionality, he was also very practical. So there's a functionality to the differences. For example, just in the differences between man and woman, how many know that men need women and women need men in order to both consummate a marriage and procreate? It's impossible for those two things to happen without a male and a female involved and contributing. So when it comes to all of these differences that we see throughout our world, but most specifically between one another, between our fellow man, we want you to note the third thing in your outlines is that different is very good. And I want you to write the word good, but I want you to circle that word very, because here's what I want you to get this deep in your heart and your mind. Is that the differences that you and I see in other people, and many times the ones that are driving us crazy, God was not only intentional about those differences, but he said it is very good. Mm-hmm. It's very good, babe.
Very good.
So
I can say that now.
Yes.
Maybe not 10 years ago.
So 20 years of driving her crazy, and she's now getting that it's very good, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay, so here's the thing. These differences, and this is what you and I have to embrace. If we're really going to find the harmony and the strength that differences are meant to bring into our lives, we've got to see them as God intended them. We've got to see them mm-hmm. as God saw them, which is that differences aren't just necessary. They're not just good, although both of those are true. They are very good. Again, the world would be not only a very bland place, but the world would be a dysfunctional place if we all did the exact same thing the exact same way. There would be so much missing. So much.
There's something I want to share. I came across, actually by accident, this morning. I actually overheard a conversation, so I decided to invite myself into it. And it was just about two young people who, they're involved in the same thing, and they both are strong in different areas. And they have learned to work together and build one another up, and so now they're going to like this competition that they made it to last year also. And it was just a beautiful picture of, it's not just about marriage. It's about every relationship in our life. And these are just two kids who are in, I don't know if they're in middle school still. So they've learned young. So that was really amazing to see. You know, it took me a long time to learn with this guy. But they're learning young that different is good. And it's all through our lives, all through our relationships. So that was...
Which is a great segue into the bullet point in your outline. Notice, you know, different is necessary because sometimes our greatest strength is also our greatest weakness, but our differences balance each other out. You know, a lot of times when we think of weakness, we think of the areas that we're not good at. But I've got something to share with you, and that is that sometimes our greatest weakness is in the area of our greatest strength. I am a very task-oriented individual and, you know, tend to not be quite as oriented towards the emotions and the feelings of things. And that has served God's purpose for my life very well. However, it also created a potential for me to be a detached person.
What?
And
you, baby.
I am Mr. Compassion. I'm telling you, deep down, you may not see it on the outside, but deep down, I got a lot of compassion. Are you laughing?
Yes.
Okay. So anyway, laughing, crying, you never know how this is going to go. So
I have Kleenex in case I cry.
But the reality is that actually, that strength also was a major weakness, especially on the front end of our
especially
relationship.
On the front end. Now it's a strength to me because I've learned to learn from it. And because I need that in my personality and in my life. But at first, it was
hurtful.
It was hurtful. Yeah, it was painful.
And misunderstood. And honestly, something that I needed to have tempered with the character of Jesus. Because I could be and still struggle with a little bit.
Harshness.
Right. I think it's just being factual, you know, but it can be harsh, right? And so for whatever our strengths are, sometimes they become a weakness without even realizing it. That can be a source of weakness as well. And without even realizing it, the thing that was intended to help now starts to hurt. Mm-hmm. And so we have to be very careful of that. Now, so all this said, in spite of these what God teaches us about these differences, that they are God-designed, mm-hmm. so they were intentional by God. They are functionally necessary, right? And they're also, from God's perspective, very good. The reality is that many of our struggles in relationships come from these differences. And it's not the differences in and of themselves that are the problem. It's how we view them and engage them, because instead of seeing them as very good, as God described them and defined them, we tend to see them as something that needs to change in that person.
I know I definitely
need to change.
Yes. That isn't quite what I was going to say, but I definitely, at the beginning of our marriage, saw our differences as a bad thing. Definitely. A really bad thing. Like, how are we going to make it a bad thing?
And it was a question mark.
Yeah, it was.
Which leads us to the fact that, you know, so instead of appreciating these differences, we saw them as something that were needing to change, and they we saw them as harmful, right? Mm-hmm. As potentially destructive. And, you know, and here's the sad reality is that Genesis chapter 1, where God describes the creation and how he was intentional about these differences, and that his take on all of these differences and everything that he made was that they were very good. In spite of this, the story doesn't end there, does it? No, we know that that there's another reality about differences, and it's the last one we want to address with you today, and that's number 4, and that is that differences can be very bad. Differences can be very bad. And we're going to share with you what those bad differences are today. Throughout the rest of the series, for the most part, we're going to have a pretty positive spin on differences. We're going to talk about, you know, finding the strength in those differences.
Yeah. I wanted to get the negative off first. He asked me if I wanted to talk about the bad last or first, and I wanted to get it done first.
So we're going to get our shot first and then eat our gummy vitamins the rest of the time together, okay? So so here's the deal, that there is a difference, one particular difference, that will have a profound negative effect on your relationship, any relationship. It doesn't have to be just a marriage relationship. Any relationship, mm-hmm. if this is not recognized, understood, and dealt with appropriately, there are some times that this will change. This is the one difference that we want to see change, okay? And this is the one difference that, above all of the things, God warned us about when it comes to differences. So real quick, to illustrate the difference, I want to take you back to our story. So remember, the front end of 1995, Marnie and I came together, started hanging out, and she came to Jesus. Yes. And was a believer. And we then started dating. We ended up later on engaged, and then we broke up. And the reason we broke up is because Marnie really came to a place where she, even though she was a believer in Jesus, she was not a fully devoted follower of Jesus, and she wasn't ready to make a commitment to me as a husband and as a pastor either. So spiritually speaking, we were not moving in the same direction. Even though at that time, Marnie claimed to be a believer. And you know, it's really only God knows whether that really was that moment of salvation or whether it came later. But the fact is that she was not really ready. She wasn't ready to give her all to Jesus. And she wasn't ready to give her all to me. And I'm not saying that I was, but, and in fact, later on, we learned that I wasn't. However, the breakup ultimately was birthed out of this spirituality issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
And so there are five areas of relational compatibility that we typically deal with, and we do premarital counseling with young couples that are, or even older couples that are coming together to get married. And those five areas, number one is spirituality. Number two is social compatibility. Number three, emotional compatibility. Number four, intellectual compatibility. And number five, physical compatibility. Now, between one and five, numbers two, three, and four really don't matter what order per se you put them in. Number five is the physical, and it does need to be last. It is important, but it needs to be last because the physical is the one that will change the most and even the fastest throughout your relationship. Things can happen. People get in accidents. They become maimed or paralyzed. We all age. I know Marnie still looks 23.
Thank you.
So the thing is the physical changes, but here's the thing. Number one has to be number one, and that is spirituality. We have to understand, and you can note in your outlines, and I'm going to have Marnie read this next statement.
Do I have that one?
Yeah, the area.
Oh, okay. The area where difference will have the broadest and deepest negative impact is spirituality. I definitely agree.
So some of us are going to feel this urge right now to push back on that one. We're going to feel this kind of inward hesitation to embrace that and say, I don't know about that. And here's what you need to know is that spirituality, some of us are thinking, I'm a very spiritual person, and some of us are thinking, well, I'm not so spiritual, or I'm not spiritual at all. I'm an atheist, and here's what you need to understand. No matter what label you claim, believer or unbeliever, okay, religious person, spiritual person, or atheist, agnostic, Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, Krishna, Muslim, Catholic, Protestant, Armenian, Calvinist, right? Southern Baptist, Pentecostal, whatever label you claim, here's what you need to understand. We all have a spirituality. We all have a spirituality, and here's why. Notice in your outlines, because another name for the human spirit is the heart. And when we say spirituality, some of us are thinking some type of mystical fantasy or fairy tale, a religious crutch that you put your trust in to help you gimp your way through life because you can't deal with the harsh realities of both life and death. But here's what I want you to understand. That spirituality is really about the heart. The word spirit and the heart in the Bible are interchangeable. And so when we talk about spiritual compatibility, we're talking about your heart belief system, your belief paradigm. Because birthed out of the heart, that inner man, the core, that nature of who you are, comes everything about you. It is the source of your convictions and your values. So notice in your outlines, Proverbs chapter 4. Marnie's going to read the next two.
Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it.
So I want you to circle the word everything. And isn't it interesting that, and underline this phrase, above all else, guard. Double underline the word guard. It's interesting that God warns us emphatically to guard our heart. Guard our heart. When my kids go off to school pretty much every day, you know, we do our devotions, we say a prayer, and as they're going out the door, I say, guard your heart. Live for Jesus. Guard your heart. Why? Because what does it say? Everything flows from it. Another translation says, out of it spring the issues of life. What's the next one, babe?
It's Proverbs 27. As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart.
See, here's the connection. And Jesus taught this principle. Out of the abundance of the heart comes what you say and how you say it and what you do and what you're choosing to think about, right? And how you choose to think about it, the attitudes that you're going to embrace and carry with people and even about yourself. Out of the life reflects what? The heart, the spirit of the man. And so no matter what your what label you would claim, be it an atheist who doesn't believe in God or any kind of spiritual thing, as we typically define spirituality, or whether they would claim to be a very, very staunch religious person, or even claim more of a spiritual, you know, mystical side to their belief system. The reality is that out of their spirit, out of their heart, comes this belief paradigm. So notice in your outlines that spirituality is the source, the heart is the source of your values, worldview, and the attitudes, words, and behaviors that flow from them. So another way to say this, in your outlines, is that spirituality or your heart defines your paradigm for life. It defines you. It defines what you will do and how you will do it. It is your spirituality, your belief system, your core convictions and values that define what is going to be acceptable and tolerated within your relationships and what will not. So believe it or not, and this would never fly in our home, and not that we would want it to, but pornography is acceptable in some marriages. Now, we know from a Christian paradigm of belief and values that is not appropriate, right? That's unacceptable. But how will we engage other things? What kinds of entertainment will be okay within our relationship? How far can we go in our relationship before we're married? See, there's still a relationship before you get married. That's why you end up married, right? Yeah. So this belief, this spirituality, this belief paradigm that is birthed out of the nature of who you are, the core, the heart of who you are, the spirit of man, It defines everything. How are you going to raise those kids? Are they going to go to church? Are you going to read your Bible at home with them? Will you say prayers over your meals? Will you pray together as a couple? How much time will your career have of your life? Right? Can you think of any other things? Tension things. Think.
Tension?
Yeah, think hard. Stuff that makes things turbulent.
Well, I had something on the tip of my tongue and it's escaping me because you were talking so much.
Sorry.
But no.
I do that.
I said, are you sure that I'm going to be able to talk up there? No. But I think it's important, you know, you give a person your heart. And I think that, you know, if your hearts don't match, if they're not believing the same thing, it's going to, right off the bat, it's going to create conflict. And so this is just something, it's just foundational. And it also, when you believe the same things, when you know that you have the same values, it creates safety and a comfort and
strength.
A confidence and a strength in no matter what you face, because you have the same foundation, you're going to be able to figure it out. So it's just, we can't really express it, or its value. I don't even know what words I'm looking for, how important it really is, mm-hmm. this one issue.
Yep. So, you know, these
are in a hurry.
No, that's exactly right. That's
He's
what
always
we're
in a hurry.
We're actually going to say. So, you know, here's the question for your relationship, whether it's your marriage, whether it's a friendship, but do you agree or disagree in this heart paradigm for life, in this spiritual paradigm for life? You know, do your values and convictions match on these things? Or do you carry the same vision, or is there division? And by that, remember, division means two visions, competing visions and paradigms. So God both challenges and warns us in Amos chapter 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? I like how the Message Bible says it. I'll let you read it, baby.
Do two people walk hand in hand if they aren't going to the same place? And the Lord just now, he gave me kind of a picture because, you know, everything flows. I love that. Everything flows. Everything you do flows from your heart. And two people that don't have the same foundation, it was like two rivers. And when they separate, and they're definitely going in different directions, and they are making their own path, and each path is going to be different. And so you're always just going to be going in the opposite direction. You're going to be trying to come together, but you're going to be going in the opposite direction.
Yeah, you know, so when you go to these wedding ceremonies, haven't you ever noticed that they talk about their two hearts and their two lives becoming one?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you, babe.
I know. I had to think about it. No.
So here's the thing. If they don't become one, then how will you be one? How can two people walk together unless they're in agreement, unless they're going to the same place? This is huge. The word division means two visions. So two goals, two destinations, two agendas, and they will constantly be in competition with one another. There will always be a tension, a tug of war pulling back and forth to determine, you know, which way are we going to go? Whose will is going to win here? And it'll be a battle of human wills. And so there will be strife.
And it grows in intensity.
Yes.
It grows, and the longer it goes, the bigger it gets, like a snowball or like that river. You know how the rivers, they start out really small. It's like the beginning of the Allegheny River up here. It's nothing. But yet it becomes this great massive force that's moving. Mm-hmm. And so as you go through life in different directions, it becomes greater and greater. But if you're going in the same direction, then that becomes greater and greater too.
Amen. So you cannot go to two different destinations at the same time. You can't go and achieve two opposite outcomes at the same time. With the same process.
I'm messing up your flow.
That's okay, baby. We mess it up. That's what you always do anyway. I'm joking.
That is just his perspective.
So there's word right there. You know, so words, I talk all the time. So words are a strength. Like articulating things is a strength. How many know being a good talker can also be a bad thing? Yeah, laugh, Lewis, but it's true. My words, which can be used to help people and build them up, can also be used to hurt them and tear them down. Okay? So, again, so here's the deal. This kind of difference is really, really bad. This is the one difference that is just not going to work. And God warns us about it. Not only in Amos chapter 3 did he say, how can two people walk together if they're not going to the same place, if they're not in agreement? But then he gets even clearer in the New Testament, by the way, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And this is what he says. Do you want to read that?
Sure, I can read it. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? For what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement, is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty.
So circle the word yoked. This word yoked means bound together, okay? Mm-hmm. And I want you to underline the phrase in common, underline the word fellowship, underline the word harmony, underline the phrase in common again, and underline the word agreement. What is it talking about there? It's talking about being united. Mm-hmm. It's talking about a oneness. What oneness is there? What unity is there? What harmony is there? What agreement is there if at the very source, the very core of who you are, you guys are different and moving in different directions? See, that's what happened to Marnie and I. And this difference that God is warning us about in this text, notice in your outlines, at best, spiritual division or spiritual difference will cultivate a shallowness and a battle of influence. That's at best. At best, your relationship will only be able to go so deep because you don't share and agree upon the very core issue that binds you together, that is the source of life, according to Jesus, the heart. I can't truly give my heart. We can't become one in spirit because we're not in agreement. And so this kind of equality, this agreement is more than just believer and unbeliever. One translation of this particular passage actually says, do not be unequally yoked. And what I want you to get here is this. Of course, a spiritual person, as we typically define them, versus an atheist? Are they going to have agreement when it comes to heart, spirit, paradigm of life? The answer is no. But what if one of us is a cessationist Southern Baptist that doesn't believe in the present day manifestation of the Holy Spirit's gifts and the ministry through spiritual gifts and miracles, and the other one of us was a diehard Pentecostal, which believes in all the spiritual gifts and then some?
That's kind of like mine and your personality.
Right, yeah, yours and my personality, yeah. Which don't give that one away. We're talking about in 2 weeks. Thank you. So here's the thing. If I was this cessationist, you know, be it Southern Baptist or of another denomination, and I thought that the manifestation of spiritual gifts were not for today, and in fact, the typical version of that is that they also think then that any such manifestation is demonic. It's of the devil. And then she's a Pentecostal, and she's over there talking in tongues all day long, right? I'm going to think... She's thinking she's getting closer to God, and I'm thinking she's in league with the devil. How are we going to get along? I'm going to keep thinking my wife's an apostate, and I need to cast the demons out of her, right? So while we are talking about being yoked together equally, and of course the text here is specifically addressing believer and unbeliever, but think about it. If I am an unbeliever, even though I'm a Christian, I am a believer in Jesus and salvation through Christ alone, but I don't believe in the manifestation of spiritual gifts today, then how is that going to affect our relationship if she does believe that? So this issue of spiritual paradigm, heart paradigm, and being the birth of our values and our convictions is huge, friends. It's huge. And we can't overstate how important it is. At best, it'll produce a shallowness and, here was the other word, a battle of influence. Because, see, if I think she's wrong and she thinks I'm wrong, we are constantly going to be in a tug of war back and forth to figure out who will prevail, right?
I'm sorry. I forgot. Sorry.
We're going to be constantly in this battle of I'm trying to get her saved, right? And she's trying to get me saved because I'm not spiritual enough, right? Anything you can think of to add to that?
Well, it just was a constant battle for us because we're so different.
Yes.
Not for our spiritual, but we were always, I was always wrong or he was always wrong. And right. We were constantly trying to change that.
So on the front end, in 1995, we broke up, and the reason is because, spiritually speaking, we were moving in different directions. In 1996, at the end of 1996, Marnie had a God encounter that captured her heart and radically changed her life. And she came back to the Lord, and of course, I was certain... She
was
the devil, a wolf in sheep's clothing coming back into the flock to devour.
He actually told people that. I mean, this is no joke.
All my guy friends, I'm leading them to Jesus, and they're like, who's that girl? I'm like, oh, let me tell you.
Stay away.
The devil.
And then he married me. I think it's great.
And so, you know, I warned these guys, she makes a great friend, but a horrible lover, have nothing to do with her. She's the devil in the sheep's clothing. Anyways, so.
He repented.
I did repent.
He did.
We started hanging out in 1997 again. And in the process of hanging out, we prayed. God corrected me on my being critical and judgmental and unforgiving toward her and bitter. I had a whole list of I can't remember how many things. And I sat her down and I repented of every one of them and asked forgiveness. And we just hung out and we prayed and we both knew that the Lord had called us to follow through with what we first felt in our heart to get married. And so we ended up getting married in 1997. And the very thing that split us apart has become that thing that has kept us together mm-hmm. through all of the trials and the challenges that life has thrown at us, and they have been vast. All of our differences in personality, we have this one thing in common. We have this common ground. And Marnie and I, we don't have anything else in common.
No.
Where other couples have this luxury of certain, you know, common cognitive process or certain common personality type or style, we've got nothing. When it comes to all these other aspects of life, we are complete opposites, but we have the foundation. We have this rock-solid foundation that has seen us through, and I believe will continue to see us through over these years. So as we wrap things up, at the end of your outline there, I'll let Marnie...
Where are we at? Which one?
Right there.
That one?
Yeah, we value.
Okay. We value the difference except when they are a difference in values. That's what divides a team and defines whether hero or bad guy.
Marnie prefers the word villain.
Villain.
So here's the deal. When it comes to differences, and throughout the rest of this series, we are going to talk about valuing the differences in one another and learning to live in harmony with those. And we value differences in all areas except this difference in spirituality. The core, the heart of the person, the spirit of the person is what defines their core values. It's what defines the person that they are going to be and the direction that their life is going to move in. And friends, if you don't have agreement in that, then it's just a matter of time that things are going to go south.
And I think, you know, I don't want to point out again that I see it over and over again, even in friendships. Because I know, you know, my children, they believe in Jesus, but not all of their friends do. And they have some really close friends who are atheist. But it comes to a point where there is a broken heart because that friend does not believe the way, you know, that my children do. And there comes a place where they know, you know, what's going to happen to this individual. And so, even though, you know, they're not married, they're just friends, it creates, you know, hardship. It creates, at the very least, a broken heart.
Mm-hmm. So, of course, we're sharing with you about our marriage relationship. But the truth is, and I want you to think as we end our time together here, is how does this apply to our friendships as well as our marriages, to our coworker experience? Because here's the reality. Can we be friends with people? Yes. And should we be friends with people? Yes. Christian and non-Christian alike? Jesus says to, right? As far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. That we are to love our neighbor, and it's not qualified that it has to be a Christian neighbor. We're to love everybody. However, as Marnie described, there will come a point where differences are going to be seen in your life that are value differences, that are based out of the heart of the person. And this is very different than personality differences. This is very different than talent differences. This is the values. This is the nature, the core, the essence of who you are and the direction your life is going to go in. And friends, with that kind of difference, you're going to feel a chafing. You're going to feel a tension. And there will come a point where either they pull away from you or you start to feel just a natural drift because you are moving in two separate directions. You're going to keep loving them, Christian, right? So you're going to keep reaching out to them. But one of three things will happen. They will either intentionally pull away from you, be it a spouse or a friend, or they will just slowly drift from you. And this happened in one of my childhood friendships. In fact, my childhood best friend, he and I, even after I became a very sold-out follower of Jesus, we knew we were friends. We were childhood best friends. We loved one another. And we really worked hard to try to remain strong in our friendship. And to this day, like, we know that affection is there, but there was just this natural drift in that his life was moving in a different direction. It didn't change how we felt about each other, but the comfort level and the amount of commonality, the common things that we could share in life together, completely changed. And so there became this big drift and a big gap in our relationship now. And we still to this day would say we love one another and we're friends, but the relationship, in honesty, it's superficial. Because the heart of and the meaning of life and the values that I have are just completely different than his. So let's take a moment to close our eyes. I want you to think about some of the relationships that you're in right now and some of the tension that you've been feeling. And over the next several weeks, we'll talk about your relationships and personality differences and so on. But when it comes to this heart difference, is that the source of the problem? And if it is, the question is, what is the appropriate response from you? If it's a friendship, perhaps that appropriate response is to just keep being a friend, but you will have to take a stand sooner or later. If it's romantic relationship, if it's the front end, should you keep going? And if you're married to this person, how does God want you to navigate that? Father God, I just want to lift up every person in this place today and those joining us online. And I pray, Father, that you will speak to each one of our hearts. I pray, Father, that you will move in every one of our lives and that we would get this issue settled in our own heart first, that we would know for certain that as far as it depends on us, as far as it goes with us, first and foremost, our foundation will be Jesus. And let this begin to direct us as we navigate life and relationships. Let it direct us, especially as we start to consider a lifelong mate. May we be sure that we have this rock-solid foundation of Jesus to build upon. Because for all the other differences that we will experience in life and all the strengths and weaknesses we'll experience and go through, we have to be moving in the same direction. In order to weather these storms, we've got to be built upon the rock-solid foundation of Jesus and Him alone. So right now, as we're sitting here, if there's anybody in here that for the first time in your life may be feeling God tugging on your heart, and you feel that inner pull saying, I want that Jesus, I want that rock-solid foundation for my life, I want to invite you to say a simple prayer with our church family. But before we pray, some of us in this room, we've prayed that prayer, and maybe like Marnie, you prayed that prayer and you came to a place of faith, but then you drifted and you fell away and you got into some pretty dark places in life. But today is an opportunity. Today could be that new day that you have a God encounter and you come back to Jesus. And if that's you, I want to invite you to pray this same prayer with our church family. Let's all pray this together. Say, Father God, thank you for loving me.
Thank you for loving me.
And for wanting me.
And for wanting me.
And pursuing me.
And pursuing me.
This day.
This day.
I ask your forgiveness.
I ask your forgiveness.
For all my wrongs.
For all of my wrongs.
That have hurt myself.
That have hurt myself.
And have hurt others.
And have hurt others.
And I declare Jesus.
And I declare Jesus
as Lord of my life.
As Lord of my life.
From this day forward.
From this day forward.
I want to do things your way.
I want to do things.
And get your results.
And get your results.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time.